Praise be to God. Thank you for joining us this morning. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is time for us to study the word of the Lord. Here we study the Bible, and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation by the grace of God. We have been able to do 22 books of the Bible, and I thank you for joining us on this journey of study. And we, like we always say, there is no limitation to revelation. God reveals his word to everybody who shows the need. And if you're out there and you want the Lord to reveal his word to you, indeed he will come and he will reveal it to you. We've done 22 books. If you've not been able to listen to the podcast, we've done straight from the book of Genesis. I ask you to please go to all podcast platforms. That is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Podbean, name it. You'll find us there, Bible in Depth, and you'll be able to listen through. And the Lord shall speak to you as well as you listen. You know, each and every day, there's a new day for a message from the Lord. Every day is a new day for a message. You can read scripture today and get revelation, and come back and read it next week and get a new revelation, because there's no limitation to revelation. God reveals his word in all forms to everybody and at any time. So just go listen through, and amazingly, personally, sometimes I listen again to some studies maybe we did a year ago, and I'm amazed at how much God brings afresh a new word, something that you did not even think of, but it comes. The reason is there's no limitation to revelation. God reveals his word each and every day. That's why you can have a chapter and it is preached about 100 times in 100 different ways by 100 different people. It's because the Lord will reveal his word as he sees fit for his people. Right now, we're handling the book of Isaiah, and we are at chapter 40, and I'll start from there today. It says, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem, and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, 'Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God.'" Those words are quite familiar for us. And we hear that when we read the Bible often. Yeah? And when you go to reference in the Bible, for example, in Mark chapter 1 verse 3, you hear the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Yeah. Then you also check Matthew chapter 3 verse 3, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John has had his raiment of camel hair, and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." So it's clear here of the prophecy of Isaiah being fulfilled when we come to the New Testament. Yeah. And he's telling of this which is to come here. "Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley." Yeah? And when you refer to scripture, it comes out, tells you, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord." It's spoken of here by Isaiah. He's speaking of the things to come. He's giving prophecy of that which is to come in the future. Practically, the message or the man, John the Baptist here, spoken of, yeah? "And every mountain will be made low. And then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Yeah, it's clear here. That day will come and you will see it. That's what he's telling them at this point. And indeed, they were able to witness this. A voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like if the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows it up, surely the people are grass, the grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. Message here clear. We are like grass. That's what they are saying here. People, like a flower, a day comes and you're gone, you've faded. A day comes and you're no more. All things in the world, all circumstances in the world, everything that has become nothing, all that has faded away, was once glorious. All people that had so much before and have faded, it's just from this scripture that you see here that you are a person. You're like grass, you're like a flower, you fade away. Every glorious thing fades at one point. As much as a flower will bloom and it looks beautiful, at one point it will fade. And they're saying that's what people are too here. However much you bloom at one point, time comes and you're no more. That's why we need to learn not to take pride so high, not to get into pride and you feel you're untouchable and you feel you're greater than even the Almighty God. Yeah? Everything that you see that has faded was once glorious. Even a relationship that has faded, at one point it was glorious. It was fun. It was enjoyable. Everything. Even the person, the people you see and they don't look like they have anything right now. They are poor. But it's possible that they once had a good time. Yeah. So he comes out here, says, everything. Man, you're like grass. You're like a flower. You fed. But there's one thing that stands forever. The word of our God stands forever. It does not fade. That's why today you will study it in a way and it speaks to you. Then tomorrow it will speak to you again. Then 100 years from now it will speak to those who are to come. The Bible we read today has been read for thousands of generations and it has had a positive impact for thousands of generations. Reason is the word of the Lord does not fade. If God has spoken his word to you, it will not fade. And sometimes it takes time, yeah. And you say, God told me he would do this for me. He will provide for me this tuition that I'm seeking for. He will get for me this relationship that I'm seeking for. The Lord, his word, if it has come out, it will be fulfilled. It does not fade. Don't take it at any one moment that God has forgotten about you. Don't take it at any one moment that God has let go of you and his word. No, the word of the Lord stands forever. If he says that he will love you, he will love you. If he says that he will prosper you, he will prosper you. If he says that he will heal you, he will heal you. The trouble is, at times, we want it all to happen in our timing. At the moment that you want it as an individual, you want it to happen at your timing. But we need to know that we need to leave all timing to God. The confidence that we have is that his word stands forever. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. And says, get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. See to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens by the span, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in balance and the hills in a pair of scales. These are things we are told. Who has done all that? Who knows measurements of the sky? Who knows the dust of the earth and knows the number? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord all as his counselor has formed him? With whom did he consult? And who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him of the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. This is trying to give you the might of your God. This is trying to give you the magnitude, the size. And still, even when you read this, it won't give it to you well enough. But we have a mighty God. And for all the things and all the nations, however strong they are and however much they feel they rule the world, when God looks down, he says, they are nothing. They are meaningless. To whom then will you liken God? Who can you liken God to? Nobody. You can't liken God to your husband, because he provides for you all the time. Because he buys for you everything you need. Because he has bought for you a huge car. And when you drive it, everyone shakes. You can't compare God to your wife, because she does the best for you. You can't compare God to your job, because you earn the best money. You can't compare God to your children. He's incomparable. So he's asking here, whom can you liken God to? Nothing. And sometimes words slip out of our mouth and we speak of things and liken to God. But that's wrong, because you cannot liken God Almighty, the one who created the heaven and earth, to anything. All word likeness will you compare with him. As for the idol, a craftsman casts it. A goldsmith plates it with gold, and a silversmith fashions chains of silver. He who is too impoverished for such an offering selects a tree that does not rot. He seeks out for himself a skillful craftsman to prepare an idol that will not totter. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heaven like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces the rulers to nothing, that once glorious person brought down to nothing. We are told who does that to them, bringing them to nothing. Who makes the judges of the earth meaningless? Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth. But he merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them like stubble. To whom then? Question is coming out here, in verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? What have you likened to God? What has taken the place of God in your life? What can you liken to the Almighty God? There is nothing that you can liken to God. There is nothing, however glorious it might appear here on earth, or even in the heavens, that can liken and equal God. And God comes out to himself and asks, who are you trying to equal me with? And he says in 26, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The stars are many In Genesis, we looked at, when we were doing the book of Genesis, we studied about these hosts of heaven, the stars, the moon, the sun, and the how much they appear to us, and the some facts that have been found so far about them, and were marveled. And here he tells you he created these stars. Billions of galaxies that exist have billions of stars in them, and he created each and every one of them, and he knows their names. The stars in the heavens are in much more number than even the people that are on earth right now, if you do go out to count. And he created them all. Some people look to them and worship them. Some people worship the stars in error. Those he has created. How do you worship something that God has created? How do you come and worship the moon and the sun? Things that God himself has created. But that happens today. People look to them. Look to these hosts of the heaven for their regard. But he tells us here, he created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them by all by name. He calls all stars by name. You go and look out in the night and look to the skies. There are so many stars. You cannot number them. But each and every one of them, God knows their name. And with the billions of galaxies that exist, and each galaxy having billions of stars, he knows each star's name. Here on earth, we are too few. We are few billions. Why can't God know your name? Why do you have to come out and think God has forgotten about you? If God can know the name of the star, he knows all the stars, billions of them. He knows their names. Why can't God know you? Why do you want to feel like God does not know you? You who he created in his own image, he knows your name. He knows about your state. He's concerned about you. If he's concerned about the flowers and the other creations, the animals, what they'll eat, he's concerned about you as an individual. He knows your name personally. He knows your name. He knows your name. And he calls you by name. And you need to always believe and trust in that God knows you by name. Let nobody ever tell you that you are forgotten. Some people come and say, for us, God forgot about us. No, he hasn't. Stick with him. Talk to him. Stay with him. He knows you by name. For the stars here, we are told, he calls them by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of all his power. Not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. Some people think that God gets tired and he sleeps. So when they go and do some things, God has not seen them. God does not sleep. He's not tired. He's alert. He's awake all the time. He's seeing. And he's not tired. Some may say, I've done so much and God is tired of me and all these wrongs I've done. God is not tired to extend his grace to you. He can still forgive you and you can still come back. Just like God is not tired, you also should not get tired of doing right, of being righteous, of walking the path, of standing for him. Don't get tired. Keep on. Keep doing it. Yeah, and he goes ahead and says his understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. What a statement. What a scripture. How much peace we get when we read about this. How much comfort we get when we read about this. That God will renew your strength. God will come to your rescue. God will renew even when you feel like all is gone. Even when you feel like there's nothing left. Even when you feel like all that is left for you is to die. God will renew your strength. Don't get tired. Sometimes we are young and we lose our strength. At a young age. And you feel like all hope is gone. And you feel like there's nothing left for me. All my peers are excelling, but for me, I'm not getting anywhere. Wait on the Lord. Do not faint. Do not lose hope. Yes, people have said that you're nothing and you'll never amount to anything. And you've lost strength, even as a young person. But wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will renew your strength. You will run and you won't get tired. Trust in the Lord. I know somebody is out there today and life has discouraged you. And you're looking, your work does not shift. Your business does not grow. Everyone else seems to be just cruising past you. But don't compare yourself to others. Wait on the Lord. Because for those who wait for the Lord, they will gain new strength. When they tell you to wait, it's not a simple task. Waiting is not easy. If you've ever waited for somebody, and maybe you have a program or a plan or something to do, and somebody says, wait for me. Sometimes they can reach immediately, or after a minute, or two, or five, or 10. But sometimes you can wait for an hour. But that doesn't mean the person won't come. Those who wait for the Lord, and there's no time frame for waiting for the Lord, wait. Wait on the Lord for that relationship. Wait on the Lord for that idea. Wait on the Lord for that success, for that career that you're hoping for. Wait on the Lord. And he says, those who wait on him will gain new strength. You get strength that is not the usual. Not like the one you've been having. This one will be special. And how do you get it? By waiting on the Lord. And you will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not get tired. You'll walk and you won't get weary. So somebody out there I speak to today that had lost hope. You think your future is gone. Wait on the Lord. He will renew your strength. Wait on the Lord. Chapter 41, we shall close with this. Coastlands, listen to me in silence and let the peoples gain new strength. Let them come forward and let them speak. Let us come together for judgment. Who has aroused one from the east, who he calls in righteousness to his feet? He delivers up nations before him and subdues kings. He makes them like dust with his sword and the wind-driven chaff with his bow. He pursues them on passing in on safety. By a way, he had not been trespassing with his feet. Who has performed and accomplished it, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am he. There is a promise here for us, and there is a word here that God tells you, actually. It's not even a promise, it's a word that he tells you, that he's the first and he's the last. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 also references and says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. God is the first and is the last. He's the one who is, who was, and who is to come. So everything starts with the Lord and everything ends with the Lord. I need to know that even in my life, that God comes first. And even at everything, every attempt, every thought, every word, anything concerning me, God has to come first. What does God say about it before you do it? Yeah? What is the plan of God for your life? You need to know that. God comes first. He says he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. It starts and ends with him. And I need to know that in my life I'm going to succeed. Verse 5, the coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and have come. Each one helps his neighbor and says to his brother, be strong. So the craftsman encourages the smelter, and he who smooths metal with the hammer encourages him who beats the anvil, saying of the soldering, it is good, and he fastens it with nails, so that it will not totter. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, surely I will help you, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's saying, as those in a business of metalworks encourage one another and strengthen one another as they work, for me, I will strengthen you. Are you out there and you don't have anybody who gives you comfort? Anybody who strengthens you? Anybody who speaks hope? There's someone here who offers himself for you. It is the Lord. And for him, he says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. And when he upholds you, listen what he does, what he uses. His righteous right hand. The right hand represents strength. With a strong hand, he comes out to help you, to stand for you. Yeah. Behold, all those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you and you will not find them. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. The message that is predominant today is, do not fear, I will help you. God will help you. He will renew your strength. He will help you. Don't be weary. Don't fear. Do not fear, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, declares the Lord. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I have made you a new sharp threshing sledge with double edges. You will thresh the mountains and pulverize them. And I will make the hills like chaff. You will winnow them, and the wind will carry them away. And the storm will scatter them, but you rejoice in the Lord. You will glory in the Holy One of Israel. The afflicted and needy are seeking water, but there is none. And their tongue is parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them myself. As the God of Israel, I will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness of the pool. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land fountains of water. I will put the cedar in the wilderness, the acacia and the myrtle and the olive tree. I will place the juniper in the desert together with the box tree and the cypress, that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight as well, that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case, the Lord says. Bring forward your strong arguments. The King of Jacob says. Now, present your case. That's what the Lord is saying. Bring your strong arguments. We looked at Hezekiah yesterday. He brought his arguments and they were strong and God listened. So you bring your case before the Lord. Tell him. Discuss. Have a discussion. Prayer is as simple as a discussion. Talking to God. And he says, bring it, I'm listening. Let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. As for the former events, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome. All announce that which is coming. Declare the things that are going to come afterward, that we may know that you are gods. Indeed, do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together. Behold, you are of no account, and your work amounts to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. I have aroused one from the north, and he has come. From the rising of the sun he will call on my name, and he will call upon rulers upon mortar. Even as the potter treads clay, who has declared this from the beginning that we might know? Or from former times that we might say he is right? Surely there was no one who declared. Surely there was no one who proclaimed. Surely there was no one who heard your words. Formerly I say to Zion, behold, here they are. And to Jerusalem I give a messenger good news. But when I look, there is no one. And there is no counselor among them who, if I ask, can give an answer. Behold, all of them are false. Their works are worthless. Their molten images are wind and emptiness. We shall close from there today. But the word of the Lord today is he will renew your strength. And you shall mount upon wings like eagles. You shall run and not grow weary. You shall walk and not faint. The reason is God is with you. God will strengthen you. God will protect you. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, you care for us and you have a good plan for us. Lead us in the right path. Show us your way and lead us in the right direction all the days of our lives. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray.